Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Craig Aaron, the president of Free Press, and also the editor and co-author of Changing Media, Public Interest Policies for a Digital Age. Before joining Free Press, he was an investigative reporter for Public Citizens Congress Watch. Welcome to Background Briefing, Craig Aaron.
Thanks for having me back, Ian.
And this mega merger between Comcast and Time Warner, the two biggest cable companies now joining in a mega merger into a giant monopoly. I have to tell you, Craig, I'm speaking to you from literally across the street from Universal Studios, and they just changed the logo on the giant black tower to say Comcast, Universal, et cetera. So they barely got through one merger, and they're onto another. I mean, but I take it you think that the deal that was just struck between Comcast and Netflix is a kind of harbinger of how things are going to be in the future in terms of who controls the internet?
Well, I do think it's a glimpse of what's to come, although if Comcast and can take over Time Warner Cable, it will be a lot worse than this deal that was negotiated this week. This is maybe a precursor, if nothing else. I think both sides of that deal, from Netflix perspective, they figured, hey, let's make a deal before new giant Comcast is here. And from Comcast perspective, they thought, well, let's get this done and maybe Netflix won't be a prominent opponent of our merger. But this merger is a whole another thing when it comes to media power. I mean, this would make Comcast, which did just take over NBC just a couple of years ago, almost an unprecedented media giant. I mean, really exercising control over cable TV, over programming, and most importantly, over the future of the internet, not to mention exercising control over the political processes that dictate the media policies we end up with.
Well, it's pretty clear that for some time now, there's been a contest between the content providers and the owners of the conduit. And I guess some power ebbs and flows in that regard. But this merger surely would mean tremendous power on the part of the conduit and very limited leverage now on, or in the future, on the part of the content provider.
Well, that's what's so scary about this, is that Comcast is both. They're both a programmer or content provider and the conduit, and there's the problem. Because they're trying to position themselves to be a gatekeeper in all those businesses and all of those markets. So they're in a situation where a company like Netflix, which competes with them when it comes to the video business, has to go through them to actually reach the customers it's trying to reach. That's a tremendous amount of power. And if they can add Time Warner Cable to the fold, they will become the dominant cable company in two-thirds of the country. That's an incredible amount of power, an incredible amount of leverage in any of these debates, whether they're going face-to-face with the broadcasters, and they're also a broadcaster, whether they're going to cable channels, they're also own a bunch of cable channels, or whether it's the internet, where they're both trying to compete and provide content, and they own the pipes. That is just way too much power concentrated in too few hands.
Well, one of the things that I most like about Netflix, particularly having sat through this binge of House of Cards.
Don't ruin it for me. I'm only at episode 5.
No, I'm not going to, but I'm telling you, it's addictive, and it's really well done. And one of the reasons it's really well done is that these new companies joining the media world are simply just writing the checks and letting the creative community here in Hollywood make the movies, which does not happen at the big networks like NBC, Universal, Comcast, where they have legions of vice presidents who nibble the scripts to death and micromanage the casting, etc. And you end up with this bland garbage that dominates television with these artificial laugh tracks on extremely unfunny sitcoms. So I know it's not your purview, but to me, that's a great loss. That if we lose the Netflix and the Amazons and these new players in this market who are doing so much better than the old players, then we're just stuck with this dreadful poverty of choice that we already have with these existing cable providers.
Well, and that's been the beauty of the internet and the beauty of actual competition, is it creates new things that customers want. and serves audiences that weren't being served. And what Comcast wants is something completely different. They want a cut of all that. They want to be in control of all that. And they want to undercut these competitors like Netflix and others who are entering this space. And at a moment when, as viewers, we want more choices, we want on-demand. The technology is there. There's no reason for there to be a cable channel just airing, you know, Law and Order or, you know, name your sitcom reruns hour after hour. We should be able to go in, find what we want when we want it. That's what the internet makes possible. That's why so many people are willing to subscribe and pay for Netflix. But now Comcast is trying to insert themselves into that conversation and trying to control how we access that. A lot of us want HBO Go. Maybe that's what we would pay for. We like the HBO model. But we can't. In order to get it, we have to pay for 500 or 600 other channels locked into Comcast. Same if you like sports. You want ESPN? Sorry. You can't just get ESPN online. You're going to have to buy all these other channels, be a cable customer. That's how Comcast knows how to make money, and that's what they're trying to lock down. And I think it does have real ramifications for the creative community, because a free and open internet gives an opportunity for lots of different kinds of experiments, allows them to reach an audience just because they put on the best show or came up with the funniest idea or had something important to say. That's what the internet makes possible. But if every time you want to do that, you have to go ask Comcast for permission, or you have to go, even worse, go cut them in, give them a piece of the back end or what have you, it diminishes the opportunities for that kind of creative expression, for new and disruptive things to happen, and it's going to decrease the investment too. Because if you didn't have to go through Comcast, there'd be a lot of people trying to solve this problem. And hey, how do we have virtual cable companies? Even Time Warner, they're trying to take over. They were negotiating with Apple to build new devices and offer a virtual cable service. That's all going to go away with Comcast literally running everything.
Again, I'm speaking with Craig Aaron, who is the president of Free Press and the editor and co-author of Changing Media Public Interest Policies for the Digital Age. Before joining Free Press, he was an investigative reporter for Public Citizen's Congress Watch. So just in terms of this landscape that we're talking about, that we have, one, the possibility, in terms of good news, the possibility that this, you know, it's hard not for anybody not to notice that this is an antitrust issue, this merge of the two biggest cable companies into one giant cable company. Their excuse is, no, we don't have customers in the same markets, which is a de facto recognition that we already have monopolies at any rate. And then
right, we already made it a cartel.
Exactly. So two questions. One is what's it look like on the antitrust front? And two, the ruling that Verizon won before the D.C. Court of Appeals, which looked like it was the end of the beginning of the end of net neutrality. It looks like the FCC may be doing the right thing there. So let's begin with that.
Sure. Well, so in terms of antitrust, you know, this is certainly something that's going to have to go through the Justice Department. And the question is really going to be, how are they going to draw these markets? Now, to their credit, the Obama administration has put a few teeth back into antitrust enforcement. They put a lot of pressure on the airline merger. They actually blocked AT&T and T-Mobile's merger, which is, you know, in the telecommunications space. So there's some good precedent there. The challenge is going to be the question you raised, which is these companies are trying to claim, hey, we don't compete. We've already carved up the country. There won't be a decrease in competition. You'll still have the same choice, just the letterhead will change. But I think when you look at the scope of the power this company would have, this is actually why we're supposed to have antitrust rules. Even if they never added a new customer, these companies already control a third of the pay TV market. They already control more than half of the triple play market when they're bundling together voice, video, and internet. That's a lot of concentration. And if these companies are allowed to get together, they will be the dominant cable company and broadband provider, high-speed broadband provider, in two-thirds of the country. So that is a really big footprint with a lot of power. And for a lot of Americans, nearly half, if this deal happens, their only true viable high-speed broadband provider will be Comcast. There's in some big markets, there's some competition from Verizon or AT&T, but in most places, the only actual broadband offering is coming from the cable company, and that's really too much power. So I think Justice is going to have to scrutinize that, but how they go about doing it will dictate, you know, a lot of whether they step in and block this. The FCC, though, has a different standard. The FCC standard is supposed to be, are deals like this in the public interest? That's a higher standard, a more complex standard, and I think the one we should be applying to this merger is letting these two companies get together in the public interest. I don't see how the FCC is going to be able to twist itself into knots to say that it is for the public interest. So net neutrality is a very important issue in this debate. It itself is a little bit complicated. Comcast, because of its last merger, is actually required to abide by old net neutrality rules until 2018. That's a little bit of cold comfort, because in 5 years from now, I don't know about you, but I'd actually like to still have an open internet. But they are under a certain kind of obligation. They've offered already to just extend that to the combined company. I think the problem there is, what you need to look at is, what are the long-term ramifications? And Comcast has been very clear. Everywhere they go, when they're talking to investors, when they're talking to trade shows, their vision for the future of the internet is not the free and open internet we have now. It is an internet that looks like cable television, where they pick and choose the channels for you, where they decide which websites work and which don't, which services go fast and which go slow. They want to control that. They want to favor their own content and services, and they want to favor the content and services of the companies that are willing to pay them. That's their vision, and you're starting to see that happen, not at the last mile, which is where net neutrality applies between Comcast and your house, but back in the backbone of the internet. And that's where you get into this whole debate with Netflix, is that Comcast is exploiting its market power, the fact that Netflix needs to reach those customers' eyeballs to have a business, to extract extra rents from them, to ask them for more money. So even though I'm already paying my broadband provider, you know, $80, $90, $100 a month, because I want to watch Netflix, that's what I give them money for, to request that traffic. Comcast has figured out, hey, we can charge extra. And the reason they can is because there's not enough competition. It's too hard for me to choose a different provider, or in my case, I'd have to switch from Verizon to Comcast, which is pretty cold comfort. There's just no way for their customers to vote with their feet. So instead of having to serve those customers and respond to their needs, and what they're saying is, hey, we want more Netflix, invest in your network. Right. Instead, they charge you and they charge Netflix. Everybody's prices goes up.
Well, Craig Aaron, I thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Craig Aaron, who is the president of Free Press and the editor and co-author of Changing Media Public Interest Policies for the Digital Age. Before joining Free Press, he was an investigative reporter for Public Citizen's Congress Watch. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back looking into the Comcast Netflix deal as a glimpse into the future of the internet.